And while you're prepping that turkey today, maybe you're wondering why a bird native to the Americas has the same name as the country turkey. Because that's what NPR listeners do. They puzzle over linguistics while in the kitchen. Well, here to explain is Dan Jurafsky. He's professor and chair of linguistics at Stanford University. Dan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks, Meghna. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us the origin story of why turkeys are named turkey.
Well, it's a funny story because if you think about it, lots of languages name turkey after other countries. You may know the French word dan, that's the word for turkey. That literally means of India. And the word for turkey in Hindi and Portuguese is Peru, like the country Peru. And in some Arabic dialects, it's called an Ethiopian bird. So it's a big mystery why the turkey seems to be named after all these countries.
Which it's not native to, right? Because it's native to North America. Okay.
In fact, the Thanksgiving turkey is actually descended from the species domesticated in Mexico, in Michoacán or Puebla, thousands of years ago. When the Aztecs moved down into the Valley of Mexico, they got this turkey, and tens of thousands of turkeys were sold every week in the poultry markets of Tenochtitlan, the city that became Mexico City.
Huh. In all of these different countries that you're naming, I still don't hear turkey. I mean, is the typical turkey that we think about named after the nation of Turkey?
Turns out it is. So the story involves the Spanish and the Portuguese and the spice trade. So the Spanish, of course, when they came to the Americas, they brought turkey back to Europe along with all the other great American products, corn, squash, pumpkin, beans, sweet potatoes, tomatoes. But the local name for the turkey, the name in Aztec, Totolin or Huejolotl, these names didn't make it to Europe. And it has to do with the Portuguese. So the Portuguese, starting with Vasco da Gama in 1497, they're trying to break the Ottoman and Venetian spice monopolies. They're trying to get to India. And they sail all around Africa to get to Calicut. Calicut's where spices are traded. And while they're doing this, they have colonies in West Africa, in a region they call Guinea. They have colonies in Brazil. They now have established colonies in India. So they're sending back stuff from India and West Africa and Brazil to Europe to be traded.
Dan, this is already turning out to be way more intriguing than I expected. Go on, tell me more.
So the Portuguese ships, they're sailing back to Lisbon, and they've got spices and textiles from Calicut, and they've got ivory and gold and feathers, and they're bringing exotic birds from Africa and birds from the New World, and then they're bringing everything to Antwerp. Antwerp's the trading capital of Northern Europe. It's where the first stock exchange had just been established. And just before this, France and England had been importing a bird that looked a lot like a small female turkey. The bird is now called a guinea fowl. Mm. But they called it, both in French and in English, a turkey hen because it was imported via Turkey originally in the 1400s. So the Portuguese, say around 1550, they're bringing what the English call a turkey cock from West Africa. And the guinea fowl and the turkey are completely confused.
Wait a minute, Dan. Why is that? Because you'd think with the sophistication of the global spice trade at the time, they'd be able to differentiate the birds and their origins. So why the confusion?
The reason has to do with Portuguese naval secrecy. So the Portuguese government, they impose strict secrecy on all their maritime explorations. They don't want anyone finding their secret colonies where they get all their stuff. So Portuguese nautical charts aren't allowed to show the coast of West Africa. And navigators, they were subject to an oath of silence, and the death penalty was prescribed for any pilot who sold a nautical chart to a foreigner. So it was completely impossible for anyone to know that the guinea fowl came from Africa and the turkey came from the Americas. And the word turkey cock, originally used for the guinea fowl, got applied to the turkey. For hundreds of years, people were confused. Shakespeare got it wrong in Henry IV. So it wasn't until many years later that we figured out that there were two separate birds. And by then, it was too late. All these languages used the old name for the guinea fowl applied to the turkey.
Dan, this is an absolutely amazing story. I mean, who knew that in our humble bird, there are Portuguese naval secrets, errors made by Shakespeare, the founding of the stock market in Europe?
It's an amazing
story. I'm blown
away. The other thing that's amazing about the turkey is that there are wild turkeys in North America. So we think that the Thanksgiving turkey that we eat is the one that we find, you know, still in the forests of America. But in fact, the turkey became so popular in Europe so quickly that by the 1560s, it was a standard bird that people ate for harvest festivals. So the colonists, when they came to Jamestown in 1607 or the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1629, they brought the turkey with them. So they called it our English turkey, and they were kind of surprised to find local wild turkeys. So really, our turkey Thanksgiving, it's a descendant of those English traditions of festival roast turkey celebrations.
Wow.
And also of those Aztec turkey dinners.
Exactly. I mean, talk about coming full circle. Now, you buried something a little bit earlier that I just want to close with. The Aztecs called the turkey the totolín?
So the female turkey is the totolín, and the male turkey is the huejolotl, and that's become the standard word in Mexican Spanish,
well,
huejolote.
I hope you enjoy your huejolote today, then.
Thank you, and you too.
I certainly shall. Dan Jurafsky is professor and chair of linguistics at Stanford University and author of The Language of Food. Happy Thanksgiving, Dan.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Meghna.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. And whether or not there's turkey or tofu on your table today, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.